Shepherds are to feed the sheep. The Apostle Paul's given his last words, and he is innocent of the blood of all men because he didn't shrink back from feeding. He didn't shrink back from declaring anything that's profitable. You go to churches these days, and you'll hear the word of God, and it gets right up to this point where it's about to get convicting, and boom, shrink back. They have blood in their hands. Pretty serious thing.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Joe from New Jersey. He says, God bless you for your wonderful work. Jesus knows you're reaching out to so many people to bless them. God bless you. Thank you. Well, Joe, you are so welcome, and it is such a privilege to share God's word. And with that in mind, I just want to thank all of our listeners who support this ministry through your prayers, through your comments, through your financial support. We are so thankful for how the Lord is using you to encourage us in this ministry. Okay, with this in mind, we come to our second message in our three-part series concerning what biblical shepherds are to be doing in the church. And this is such an important message, so I encourage you to prayerfully pay attention to everything you hear from the Word of God so that you can respond in a way that glorifies the God of the Word. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 together.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Verse 9, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. Thou shalt demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. There's four. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep, and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in good pasture land. Feed, there's five. And their grazing ground will no longer be in the mountain heights of Israel. They will lie down in good grazing ground. They will feed in rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. There's six. I will feed my flock. And there's seven. And I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. Seven times, right? Then look down to verse 23. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. There's eight. And he will feed them himself and be their shepherd. There's nine. It's about feeding. Now, Israel was God's people, but yet it's an interesting thing. So they were his flock, but yet within that, it was interesting because the nation was full of those who hadn't come to faith. Non-believers. He's talking about those who are scattered and turned away. The shepherds should have been feeding. They should have been causing them to turn from their sin to the Lord. But instead, they were scattered all over the place because of their sin. So here, we see very clearly, woe to the shepherds of Israel, back in our passage. This makes the point that every shepherd knows, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? It's obvious. Shouldn't they be doing that? You know, God just cuts right through it, right? There's no beating around the bush here. It's right, laser beam right to the issue. You know, and our passage clearly reveals that shepherd's job is centered around feeding sheep, but what does that mean? Well, we're going to see that that feeding has to do with the Word of God. That's what is being fed. That's the food. In another Old Testament passage worthy of a closer look is Jeremiah chapter 3. And if you look at that, and you can look at it at your own time, verses 11 to 14, God states in verse 15, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. You could literally translate in the Hebrew, who will feed you with feedings of knowledge. And that would be God, the knowledge of the Lord. That would be the biblical understanding, his knowledge revealed in the Word. Turn to Acts 20, and I shared this earlier, but turn to Acts 20. Shepherds are to feed the sheep. And the Apostle Paul's given his last words, and he is innocent of the blood of all men because he didn't shrink back from feeding. He didn't shrink back from declaring anything that's profitable. You go to churches these days, and you'll hear the word of God, and it gets right up to this point where it's about to get convicting, and boom, shrink back. We want blood in our hands. Very serious thing. Apostle Paul said, Acts 20, verse 18, and when they had come to him, that's the Ephesian elders in Miletus, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and tears with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. Look at this. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. And he goes and talks about the sphere, teaching and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, hey, you know that I shared the word of God with you. You know I didn't shrink back. Now he's going to give us what's going to happen to him. And now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions await me. And this is important. If you want to serve the Lord, this next verse is really important, by the way. But I do not consider my life of any account dear to myself in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to what? To testify solemnly of the gospel, the grace of God. And now behold, I know all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom. Now these Ephesians, Paul was there for 2 years teaching in the school of Tyrannus. You can look at Acts. He taught the word of God for 2 years to them. He said, I went preaching the kingdom, we'll see my face no more. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. And he's going to explain why. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel or the whole purpose of God. He declared the entirety of God's word. He didn't shrink back from sharing God's word with them. He shared it all. And notice what he says to these shepherds. These are the shepherds of Ephesus. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock. And when the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. You guys feed it, just like I did with you, right? Which he purchased with his own blood. I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. He's saying, shepherd the flock. Do what I did. And later on, he'll commit them to God and the word of his grace. I commit you to God and his word. That's all you need. You need him and his word. Turn to John chapter 21. It's very interesting. You know, Peter, he was told by the Lord that he was going to deny him, you know, and the Lord, he said, no way, it's not going to happen. And then he denied the Lord 3 times. And when the Lord looked at him, he wept bitterly. He was very convicted over it. And when the Lord rose from the dead, and we'll see this in John 21, the Lord restores Peter. And when he restores him in a very interesting way. And I want you to see this. I usually prefer the NASB, but I think the New King James actually translates this passage better. So I'm going to read it from the New King James, okay? And I'll show you where that is. John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, this is after the Lord came to Peter and them after he had risen from the dead. So when they'd eaten breakfast on the beach, we see, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. That's the word means feed in Greek. You may have another word, shepherd, or feed. You love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend or shepherd my sheep. Tend. And he said to him a third time. Remember, Peter denied him 3 times. Now the Lord's restoring him, okay? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time. Do you love me? And, you know, everyone who teaches this passage makes it about the statement of love, and that's true. But Jesus is restoring Peter, and he's telling him what to do if he really does love him. He says, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. That's a great answer, by the way. You know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus said to him, and this is the word in Greek. It means this, and in the New King James, I translate it right. Feed my sheep. Feed, shepherd, feed. Shepherding consists of feeding. That's what it is. Peter got restored from his fall in what he was to do. He was from that point on to feed God's sheep. Later on, Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. You speak, speak the word of God. Let me share what Paul shares about those who are to shepherd in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. He says that we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. instruct you in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Let me mention this. This is really important. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you. He doesn't say, remember those who rule over you and spoke the Word of God. He says, remember those who ruled over you or tended you, shepherded you, who spoke the Word of God. How did they shepherd? They shepherded by giving the Word of God. People make shepherding all something other than what it is. It's sharing the Word of God, and it's protecting the flock from threats to the Word. When you share the Word of God, that's everything everyone needs in every circumstance. Feed, shepherd, feed. The duty of a shepherd is to feed the flock. The duty of pastors and elders, the duty of anyone with the teaching is to feed the sheep. That's the duty. This implies that leadership and the proclamation of the Word are inseparable. And oh, if the seminary I went to would have just taught the Word of God, how many people's lives would have been changed? Would have taught this. Here's your job, shepherds. Let's go to the Word of God and see what it says, right? Here's a warning what you shouldn't do, right? You see, God's Word is what He uses to grow us in respect to salvation. And there are a lot of very, very, you ask them, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, 38 years. You go, and you look and they're so immature. You're not making judgments because we all have issues, but people aren't growing. Why? They're not being fed the Word of God, but that's their choice. There's a culpability also. We'll see that. There's a culpability. People make choices to not be fed. But still, the people that are evil and ready to do it for them, they are responsible for what they're doing. You see, God uses His Word to bring us into a relationship with Him. We have the Word in salvation. James says, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. You got saved through the Word working in you, bringing about new life. The Word of the Gospel concerning Jesus and salvation, right? And He says here, for all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the Word which was preached to you. You got saved when you heard the Word of God, the Gospel. The reality is, the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God's Word is what He uses to bring us into a relationship with Him. But He also uses His Word to grow us in respect to salvation. And we see in a wonderful passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we see it is the Word of God which performs its work in you who believe. 1 Thess 2:13. It performs its work in you who believe. You see, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. God's Word works in us. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. God's Word pierces to the soul. And if you allow it to do it, work in it, it'll restore your soul. God's Word is used to equip us for every good work. Every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, having been fully equipped for every good work. There is no shortcut. There is no program or book. God uses His Spirit-empowered Word from the Scriptures to conform us to the image of Christ. And all hell is trying to pull people away from that into things that appear to be like that but are not. Woe to you shepherds who are feeding yourself and not feeding the flock. You see, the Word is totally sufficient because it reveals a totally sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. And we trust and abide in Him. And spiritual leadership and the proclamation of the Word are inseparable. One aspect of godly leaders that are worthy to be mimicked is that they feed those who are in their charge the Word of God, and that protects them. That's what shepherds do. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's life. So back in our passage, He says, middle of verse 2, woe shepherds of Israel who've been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Shouldn't they feed the flock? Now, unfortunately, during Ezekiel's time, they had this, and we have it during our time. The apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy that evil men and imposters proceed from bad to worse. But Timothy, stay in the things that you've known and learned, the word of God. And then he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, and I saw me charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. If someone is preaching the word, there's going to be reproof. If someone's preaching the word, there's going to be instruction. There's going to be exhortation. If you're not hearing it, most churches these days is just a pick-me-up Bible talk. It's everything but conviction. I'm a sinner. I need to be convicted. I want to be convicted because I stray and I want to follow the Lord, and I hope you do too. So we need the word of God. So shepherds here are in deep trouble. So where is the outrage over those who consistently week in and week out don't feed the flock, who come to these pulpits and they give a little Bible verse here and there, maybe sound doctrine, a little bit here and there. And people say, I always hear this all the time, oh, they love Jesus so much. I say, no, they don't. And they say, yes, they do. We talk about the gospel all the time. I say, no, they don't. I say, they love Jesus. I say, no, they don't. And I share that passage where the Lord Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. They're charlatans. They're evil men and imposters. Watch out for it. And God doesn't miss it. I was reading back, this is back a long time ago, it was an article in the Charlotte paper. I'm going to read part of it because this guy gets it. He sees it. The title is Pastor Admits to Stealing Sermons. He says, and he responds to this in a sarcastic way, and it shows exactly what I'm talking about. What a shame. If Pastor Wagner only known about Willow Creek and Saddleback, he could have simply logged on the respective sites like so many sneaky preachers do this day and downloaded a number of sermons by Rick Warman and Bill Hiles. You have to admit it's a handy way to get around those difficult times when the Lord, or whatever reason, leaves you high and dry in the pulpit. He's being sarcastic. He says here, isn't it comforting to know that the man of God doesn't have to labor in the word and doctrine anymore or wait patiently for divine guidance or wisdom and sight instruction? Thanks to Warren and Hybels, a smorgasbord of satisfying sermons are just a click away. Folks, I was taught that in seminary to look for things on the internet to preach about. I said, what am I talking about? It's the Bible we preach. So evil. But this is the mindset to keep non-believers in church. People who don't know the Lord or people who are in sin can't endure sound doctrine. So you got to tickle their ears to keep them in. That's what seminaries teach people. And that is evil. Woe to those who feed themselves and do not feed the flock. Very serious. Now notice something interesting here. Back in our passage, go down to verse 10 in chapter 32. God condemns them for not feeding the flock, but then he wrote an interesting statement. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I shall demand my sheep from them. This is verse 10. And make them cease from feeding sheep. Wait a second, I thought they weren't feeding sheep. Yes, they're not feeding sheep, but they pretend to feed sheep. I'm going to pull them out and remove them from those positions. Ultimately, this is what God is going to do with Israel when he restores them. And he comes as the chief shepherd. There are people who appear to be feeding. They act as though they're feeding. And they are not feeding. They are shepherds who play a game. They play a game Sunday after Sunday. The deception that we see. And again, I hear it all the time too. We're getting good Bible teaching. I've looked at the service like, no, you're not. I'm not talking about running around pointing everybody's church. Just deal with yourself, but I'm talking as a pastor, okay? They say, we're getting good Bible teaching. I'm looking at, no, you're not. They feel like they are. They're deceived. But God sees everything, and he says to those shepherds, he says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves and not feeding the flock. So how did they feed themselves? What is he talking about here? It's a metaphor. It's an illustration. How were these shepherds who were literally not feeding the flock, they weren't bringing the word of God, how were they feeding themselves? Notice what our passage says. Let's get back to our passage. Notice how they self-feed. They take advantage of the sheep. Verse 3. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. The term fat is translated milk or curds and some other translations. I think fat's the best translation there. These evil shepherds use the sheep They feed on them for personal gain. It's a metaphor that you see here. They take what is valuable from them. They take their money, they take their time, and they take their attention. They feed on the sheep. Do you want to know what's their ultimate motive behind this? Why they do it? It's for their own personal gain. It's for their own self-serving reasons. Turn to 2 Peter. We can't see their hearts, but God sees them and he tells us about it. When you have someone whose primary duty is to do something and they don't do it, then you can look in God's word and say, this is what's going on in their heart. 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Notice this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned, and in their what? Greed. They will exploit you with false words. And you can go on. There's a whole list of what they're doing. But God sees it all as he's seen all the rest of the rebellion. He's taking care of it. He says back in the middle of verse 13, they are stains and blemishes, reviling in their deceptions as they cross with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 17, these are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, for which black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice fleshly desires. These are bad guys. They do it for their own gain. Some is to have people follow them. It's money, whatever it is. It's prestige. They want disciples to follow after themselves. Jude, which we're studying on Wednesday nights, talks about this. These men are hidden reefs in your love feasts. When they feast with you, caring for themselves. The word means shepherding. They shepherd themselves. They really care for themselves. They care for all their needs, but they don't care about the flock at all. They are in it for gain. That's why they do it. When someone doesn't preach the word, and they don't obey the Lord, we see the character underneath that in these passages of those who are disobedient to God and such one of the highest, most important things to do, which is to preach his word. When they don't do it, this is what's going on. And we need to run away from them.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you asked a rhetorical question near the end of your message that stated, where's the outrage in the church about the ungodly leadership in the church? Why do you think the church is silent here?
You know, Dave, I think the church is silent because they like their leadership. It feeds their flesh, unfortunately. And in effect, they've left their first love. They've traded away Jesus and his precious word for stories about Jesus and movies and dramatic presentations that are entertaining, but not in the least biblical or even edifying. And this kind of thinking, Dave, has proliferated the church. And quite frankly, as I mentioned, people enjoy it. They like having their ears tickled. So we have a church now that is more like a social club than a place of true worship of the living God, and people like it. So where's the collective outcry against such teaching? It seems to be non-existent because there are so few, from my perspective, Dave, who truly want to hear the word of God and focus on Christ and worship in a way that glorifies him. Now, there's always been a remnant within the church, and there's always been a remnant within Scripture, as we see. And so where's the outcry? I think within
the true biblical church, there should be a heart to snatch those who have been caught up with false teachers out of the fire, to have mercy on them. And that's the way I see this outcry pouring out, where we have a concern and care for those who are being led astray.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.